the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode. And this one's going to be a little bit hairy. We're going to try and dissect and find out what's going on here on Beyond the Pitch. And I have the pleasure to be able to dissect and find out what's going on. Well, at least we're going to try to, with ESPN's Jonathan Johnson over in Paris. And Jonathan, what's going on? Because we saw Neymar going to China. We saw him, actually, he recently went to Dubai. And now it's, you know, he's going to go in another direction. I mean, what's going on? I mean, this is what makes it all confusing in this whole saga, right? Or is it just to continue dragging it out even more?
I mean, I think at the moment the latest news with Neymar is that he's going back to Barcelona. He's expected to return to training, and whether or not he was planning to go to Paris from Dubai and then ended up having to go back to Barcelona, who knows? You know, PSG remain confident that they have managed to find a way around financial fair play, and that they'll be able to land Neymar. There's been suggestions as well in Spain that this now has something to do with the fact that Neymar's dad was unable to collect the loyalty bonus that he and Neymar were due on the final day of July, which, you know, Barcelona have now paid into a notary office because they argue that they shouldn't have to pay the full fee if Neymar doesn't see out, the length of his contract. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all starting to get a bit messy now, particularly on Neymar and his father's side of things. But it does seem like the situation is increasingly more untenable for Neymar with Barcelona, really. I'm sure people have seen the posters that have popped up around Camp Nou, branding Neymar a mercenary and a traitor. So, you know, it seems like he's at the point of no return, really, as far as the Barcelona fans are concerned. But, this keeps dragging on for the moment. So it's up to, PSG to activate his release clause for him to be able to go over there, sign his contract and pass his medical, make this move. But until that's done, he's going to have to stay with Barcelona and continue to train and, you know, act as if things are normal. And, particularly as you saw up close in the International Champions Cup recently, you know, things obviously aren't, and that Barcelona's tour of the USA sort of became like, a second and aside to the sideshow that Neymar's saga has created there.
Jonathan, I mean, it's all, I mean, obviously, what you were mentioning about Neymar, and isn't it, at least to me, that I think it would have given him more of a sense of closure for him to say, hey, look, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that. At least give people an idea. Look, don't believe what they're saying. It's not true. Something. But in the end, he ends up looking like the bad guy. But the actual villain, if you look at it from that perspective, also is the father, because he's the one that's kind of delaying things because he's not getting paid. How do people in France, how do people in Paris specifically look at that particular end of the whole deal? Look at it from the father's perspective as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people in Paris who are looking at it and sort of seeing, the father's drive and his goals, his ambitions for his son as a positive thing for PSG, because at the end of the day, it seems like there's a lot of influence coming from Neymar's dad, that's kind of pro this PSG move, and that if it was up to the player, perhaps, you know, it wouldn't be as clear cut as that. At the same time, you know, I think the PSG fans are getting very tired of this saga and how it's been drawn out the same way that Barcelona fans are. So yeah, it's getting a bit messy at the moment, and it appears that, you know, one of the main reasons for that is his father's involvement in this deal.
You were talking a little while ago, and I wanted to jump around a little bit when it came to this subject, because of course there's lots of little issues that you have to touch. And one of the issues that you talked about, of course, was the financial fair play. When this comes into play, then you start to hear that all of a sudden Neymar is going to be the ambassador to the 2022 World Cup. Isn't that, and correct me, this is more me asking out of ignorance than out of anything else. Isn't that illegal to have an entity be able to put that much money into you for a release clause? Or is there a legit loophole where they can go and put them in such a situation? Just say, here's your money, here's your sponsorship money, go pay your release clause. Is there something I'm missing here? Is there something that's not quite, just not making sense as far as that's concerned?
Well, I mean, I think that you've covered all the different possibilities there. You know that there's definitely the moral argument as to whether this is something that can or can't be done. But at the same time, it's not like financial fair play is is a completely flawless concept. You know, at the end of the day, there are clubs who have found loopholes in the way that it's worked after the last couple of years. And you just got to remember as well that PSG spent 3 years under financial fair play limitations, and they they've had plenty of time to work out the ways around it and plan this move. You know, this is something that PSG have been trying with Neymar for the last couple of summers, but this is the first one where they've been completely free of all financial fair play restrictions. So yeah, there's plenty of noise being made from La Liga, from Barcelona, about how this is against financial fair play. UEFA have already been like forced to come out and say that obviously PSG have to respect financial fair play, and a transfer as big as Neymar will obviously be looked into with intense scrutiny. But PSG, at the end of the day, feel that they're confident that they've found a way around financial fair play. I mean, something that else that has to be kept in mind that many people haven't really considered is the fact that PSG commercially have grown massively in the last couple of years. So the money that they were earning back when they, tripped over the financial fair play rules, their situation's a million miles away from that now. They're in a much better financial situation, and they are capable of pulling off these big money transfers. Whether they're capable of pulling off a big money transfer as much as Neymar's 220 million euro release clause is concerned, we'll have to wait and see. But they, as far as I know, they're confident that they've found a way to make this transfer happen without being punished by financial fair play. So it seems like there's just a lot of noise coming from Spain, La Liga and Barcelona, how this is not fair on Barcelona and all of this stuff, when it seems like they just don't like it when the shoe is on the other foot, because just over a month ago, when they were trying to sign Marco Verratti behind PSG's backs, there was no such crying from Barcelona and La Liga about the potential signing of a big name player in that sort of manner. So I think that there is that there's plenty of sort of grey areas really as far as financial fair play is concerned. But obviously, the money that PSG, that the Qatari government would give Neymar in the event that he did become an ambassador for the World Cup, which personally I'm not sure is the most realistic theory. Obviously that would be investigated, because they'd be considered an interested party. But, I think that PSG plan to do this without, muddying the waters from by getting money from Qatar and the government. What I think is also very interesting, it's something that people haven't really touched upon, is PSG's infamous Qatar Tourism Authority sponsorship deal, which was the initial reason why they were punished by financial fair play in the first place a couple of years ago. It expired last summer, and it was due for renewal. And as far as everybody in Paris is concerned or knows, it has been renewed. However, what is not known is the value of this contract, because it was previously 100 million euros, because it was cut from 200 million euros. But there was plenty of speculation towards the end of last year that it would be renewed for 175 million euros. So obviously, with the size of that unknown, PSG's accounts and their ability to pull off a transfer of this magnitude, it's not as clear to our eyes as it could be.
I mean, this what you say is even more confusing to a certain extent, because then you're dealing with other pockets where PSG can really go into it. And as far as where the money comes from, or where the money, what the interests are behind that money, I guess that would be probably the best thing I could say. You end up getting more, you know, uncertain as to what's going on. I mean, that to me,
yeah,
that
seems, of course, but yeah. that money from Qatar that could go into PSG would be going into PSG under financial fair play laws, and the fact that PSG have improved their commercial position in the last couple of years has enabled them to, within financial fair play rules, have sponsorship deals of that size. So if that QTH sponsorship deal has now grown to, say, 175 million euros per year, then that's because of the rules that were put in place by financial fair play. So it's allowed that sort of sponsorship deal to happen and potentially, you know, has enabled PSG to make a signing, you know, of the caliber of Neymar.
Okay. Now that starts to make even more sense. And you're right. Really, very few have been talking about that. Obviously, Barcelona and Real Madrid, if you want to add them into the mix as well, haven't been too clear about that particular part. And that starts to give it a little bit more sense as far as where some of the money, not all of the money, would come in from. What's the sentiment within the team? Because when they were here, if we spoke privately, you and I, if there was one subject that was off limits, it was Neymar. I mean, the players were always very standoffish, and even Unai Emery was always tap dancing around the question. They'd ask him that on several occasions, and he'd go and start saying, "Well, we're focused on the team right now and seeing what the team is going to do leading up to the Super Cup." How, now that they're back in at home, how are they when it comes to this whole subject? Are they still very standoffish on the subject, or have they tended to be a little bit more calmer? I mean, the only one that I saw that really threw anything out was Edinson Cavani, who ended up saying, "Well, yeah, anyone who comes in, we're more than welcome to have them as long as they can contribute."
Yeah, I mean, after the Trophy of the Champion match in Morocco over the weekend, which I was at, you know, some of the players started to speak a little more openly about Neymar. You had Dani Alves actually went into quite a lot of detail. Obviously, Alves is a close friend of Neymar's. Thiago Silva suggested before the match that he would speak about the situation a bit after it. He didn't actually really come out and say anything, but Thiago Motta did. Marquinhos even said a little bit as well. So, you know, obviously the interest is there. The players know that there's a possibility that he's going to join. It's just a question of PSG taking care of the details and bringing him in. But I think at the same time, some of the PSG players are trying to be careful about what they say. I mean, we all know that, you know, Alves is a very outspoken guy anyway. So, you know, he's not going to have too much. It's not going to hold too much fear, you know, for him to talk about, you know, a close friend of his and the potential for him to come and join PSG. You know, and he's obviously going to be very pro the move, because, like I said, he and Neymar are very close friends. But yeah, some of the other players still a little more reserved. But that said, you know, after the Trophy des Champions, I think it's, you know, the most we've heard any PSG players talking about Neymar. So certainly more so than when you saw them up close at the International Champions Cup in Miami recently.
Here with Jonathan Johnson of ESPN. And just a couple more questions before I let you go, Jonathan. How does this change the expectations for this coming year? And what I mean is, of course, you know, is it now that PSG has to win everything? Should Neymar end up in, and all you should, just for this particular instance, should Neymar finally make his move to PSG? Or do the expectations remain the same, you know, getting to the quarterfinals, semifinals of the Champions League? Or does the Champions League gain precedence over everything else?
Well, I think PSG have a lot of ground to make up after the disappointment of last season. you know, so the priority for PSG will be to win back their Ligue 1 title and to go further than they have in the Champions League under the Qataris. So, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect that PSG, the Qataris are going to demand that PSG this season win Ligue 1 and get to the Champions League semi-finals. And I think that there'll be less importance placed on the domestic cups than ever before in this campaign. You know, PSG have proved their dominance in both domestic cups. You know, they're now the undisputed, most decorated team in both the Coupe de la Ligue and the Coupe de France. You know, so they don't really have anything to prove on that front anymore. So that's, you know, one key reason why I can see them being absolutely focused when it comes to all the Ligue 1 matches, all the Champions League matches, and you know, it wouldn't even surprise me if PSG play a complete reserve side in both of their cup matches, and you know, they won't be too big a fuss kicked up if they end up going out of one or both of those competitions, because at the end of the day, you know, if Neymar comes in, the pressure is going to be greater than ever when it comes to playing in the Champions League and also you know, winning the Ligue 1 title, but winning it convincingly, and with Monaco looking a weaker side than they were last season, despite the fact that they do still have plenty of talent in that squad. You know, I think that there is you know, an expectation that PSG will perhaps not run away with it in the same way that they did a couple of years ago, you know, where they had the title sewn up by March. But at the same time, you know, I think that they will be expected to win the Ligue 1 crown quite convincingly.
And that leads me to my final question. I mean, what's the impact of Neymar domestically? Because I mean, if there's a narrative that's always gone on when it comes to, especially in the past couple of years when it's gone to Ligue 1, is to see a team like PSG stock up, and pretty much the league is done and dusted with several match day or several weeks before the end of the season. You know, like you said, two years ago, I spoke to the press officer for PSG. He said the same thing. He's like, you know, a couple of years ago, we had 9 more points than we did last year, and we had the league sewn up, you know, and we won by 25 points. This year that Monaco won it, they had 9 points less, and they came in second place. So, I mean, that shows you how the league changed last year. I mean, how does that help or hinder the narrative of, oh, well, you know, Ligue 1 is just a one league team, and last year was a fluke?
I mean, I think anyone who watches Ligue 1 closely enough will know that Ligue 1 is not just a one-team league. You know, that Monaco are good enough to beat them to the league title, as they proved last season, and that there are other good teams in the league as well. You know, the likes of Lyon, you know, the likes of Marseille are going to be stronger as well this time around. You know, Nice, you know, an absolute revelation last campaign. You know, so I think that, you know, it's a bit fickle for people to say that Ligue 1 is just a one-team league without actually watching it closely. I mean, I understand why people make those comments when you look at the strength of PSG, but really, you know, Ligue 1 is not as uncompetitive as many people make out, and PSG don't have things all their own way all the time, you know, despite the, you know, the fantastic players that they boast in their squad. You know, so I think that it's... The good thing from a PSG point of view about Neymar coming in, or one of the many good things about Neymar potentially coming in for PSG, will be the fact that, you know, they're able to boast a full house week in, week out in the league, because, you know, with a player of the star value of Neymar, like Ibrahimovic when he was at PSG, you know, people flocking to watch the team play against anybody, not just for the big Champions League matches or the big matches in Ligue 1. So, you know, that's one potential big positive from the PSG point of view for this move for Neymar. But obviously, the expectation is that they will, you know, completely crush a lot of their domestic opponents week in, week out in the league. And PSG sometimes struggle against those expectations, mainly because, you know, the players get so complacent at times when they're coming up against some of these smaller French teams.
And Johnny, if there's a person I envy right now, it's you. Just to let you know, it's always a pleasure being able to talk to you. And you know, thank you so much for being here on Beyond the Pitch. Where can people follow you? What do you have cooking as far as stories or things that you have going on right now that you might be working on in the next few days?
Thanks a lot for having me on, Juan. It was a pleasure. I mean, anybody listening can find. Probably the best place to find my work is on Twitter, so at John Legossip, so that's JON_LEGOSSIP. And there they'll be able to find you know, plenty of detail about PSG's pursuit of Neymar and other various PSG-related stories, mostly transfer-based at the moment before the season kicks off. But of course, Ligue 1 is back at the end of the week, so you know, hopefully people will tune into my coverage, you know, to hear about how people get how PSG get on at Amiens as well.
Okay, that's great. And if you see cameras, you know, you're by the Champs-Élysées when Neymar's driving by, you know, wave, see what's up. But anyway, I hope, you know, hope to have you back on soon so we can talk a little bit more about Liga. I mean, it's always been a league that's captivated me, even way before the PSG, and even before that, the Lyon dominance a few years back was one of the things that really made Liga a very captivating league for me. So definitely want to talk to you more about what's going on in France, and maybe even talk to you from France. Hey, who knows? But we'll stay in touch. Thank you so much for being on, Jonathan. It was a pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Jonathan Johnson of ESPN over in Paris.
Players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now we're talking football.